Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Listeners at home, my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 7th of March, 2026, corresponding to the 18th of Ramadan, 4047 AH. It is the third Saturday of the ninth month of the Hijra year, which is the month of Ramadan. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of good health. We are about to go into the last 10 days of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and accept our efforts in this noble month as acts of worship. The program is Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio, and on this program we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the Glorious Quran, in Quran chapter 97, Surah Al-Qadr, from verses 1 to 5, Allah says, indeed, we have revealed it in the night of majesty, Laylatul Qadr. What exactly will make you understand what the night of majesty is? Allah says, the night of majesty is better than 1,000 months. Verily indeed, the angels and the ruh descend in that night with the permission of their Lord on every affair, on every matter. Peace indeed it shall be till the appearance of dawn. The night of majesty, the topic we want to look at this morning is the night of majesty, reawakening the soul of the Ummah. Let me just tell you that this program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page and join in to view the studio live. Then around the program, we would open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. The program again is Everyday Muslim, brought to you by MPAC in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. Want to seek your sponsorship of our placement to sustain this program? Please come in with your products and services on this platform. I want to assure you that you'll never regret doing so. So we're waiting for you in every way to support this program. Either, like I said, a form of sponsorship or even have our placement. We will look forward to getting that from you. So I said earlier that I want to look at the topic, the Night of Majesty, reawakening the soul of the Ummah. And our guest for today is Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari Abul Barakat. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya ustaz.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright. Imam is not a new voice or a new face on this platform, but it's also possible that you might be listening to this program for the first time. So, and you're probably getting to meet him for the first time. So, Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari Abul Barakat is the Imam and Director of Darul Sa'ada Islamic Center in Otago State. He also serves as a Quran tutor at Crescent University at Abeokuta, Ogun State. As an introduction to the topic, Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Majesty, is described by Allah as better than 1,000 months. It is a night in which the destinies are rewritten, mercies descend in abundance, sins are forgiven, and hearts are revived. Yet beyond this immense reward lies a deeper reality. Laylatul Qadr is not only a night of personal salvation, it is also a night meant to reawaken the soul of the nation of Muhammad, the Ummah. It was on this night that the revelation began, a message that transformed a fragmented people into a principled nation, a message that replaced despair with purpose, weakness with dignity, and disunity with brotherhood. Today, many Muslims eagerly seek Laylatul Qadr for forgiveness, for provision, and relief from personal struggles. But are we also seeking its power to revive our collective spiritual consciousness? This is a question that we really need to ask ourselves. Is Laylatul Qadr just a private moment of worship, or is it meant to reconnect us to the mission that once uplifted the entire nation, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Today on the program, we are joined by Imam Abu Labiba to explore how this sacred night can move us beyond ritual into renewal, beyond personal gain into collective revival. Imam. No. Ramadan Mubarak, at least first, because this is the first time we are meeting. Ameen. Alright. So, today is 18th. On Monday, it will be the 20th of Ramadan. And we'll be, getting prepared for those who want to perform the i'tikaf, spiritual seclusion in the mosque of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the last 10 days. Now, Laylatul Qadr is widely approached as a night for personal forgiveness and reward. Yet, it marks the beginning of a revelation that transformed the entire civilization, the Arabian civilization. How should we understand this night? Not merely as an opportunity for individual salvation, but as a divine moment capable of reviving the spiritual consciousness, unity, and direction of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who beseech His blessings upon the leader, our mentor Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, upon his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning.
Allahumma ameen.
Ameen. When we talk about Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is just a fragment of the month of Ramadan. The message Ramadan comes with and Laylatul Qadr comes with is not just personal. It's not just about your relationship with God alone. it's all about, even it entails even your relationship with the people. Look at in Ramadan, naturally, some things that we are not meant to do as a congregation. We don't congregate to do it. We don't come together to do it. Everyone does it individually.
Yeah.
We are allowed to do it in congregation in Ramadan.
Mm.
It's a message. Taraweeh is a voluntary prayer.
Yeah.
It's not an obligatory prayer. A Muslim is obligated to join other Muslims to observe obligatory prayers. As a Muslim, a male, you must, is a must. I use the word must. Be in the masjid to observe salah with other fellow Muslims, wherever you are in the world. But supererogatory, you are encouraged to do that even secretly in your home, between you and your creator. But in Ramadan, that supererogatory, you want it to bring it outside. Bring the supererogatory outside. Come to the masjid. Taraweeh is something the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observes every night. He observed tahajjud every night, the same 11 raka'at. But in Ramadan, it has a separate nomenclature called Taraweeh, now fusing in the condition of other people, making it a way that will be convenient for almost everybody, because we want you all to come together to do it. So, congregation, coming as an ummah, is one of the message, Ramadan comes with. Specifically, Allah to look at how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam searches the night of majesty. He comes to the masjid and joins other people, you know, in congregation. So, people will come together, do different activities together, because togetherness is part of what Laylatul Qadr has come to. Even the angels too will come down, will descend in congregation. They will descend. Allah could have sent a single angel. Yeah, it's possible. But they will come in such a way that there will even be no space enough for them, for you to know how large that congregation would be. So, Laylatul Qadr is not just about personal reawakening or your connection with your God alone, but what's your connection with other people? You want Allah to forgive you, are we forgiving others? Naam? You want Allah to show you mercy, have you shown mercy to other people? Man la yarham la yurham. Whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. So these are the messages right in Laylatul Qadr. And as much as possible, as they are trying to come together on the spirituality, then it teaches us to reduce as much as possible our connection with the worldly, because this world is just a moment of transitioning. We are only transitioning to somewhere. We should focus where we are going.
It's not the destination.
It's not the destination.
It's only a pathway.
It's just a pathway. We are moving.
All right. Now, we inform that the Quran descended on the Laylatul, on the Night of Majesty, Laylatul Qadr. Now, what does this connection actually teach us about the relationship between revelation and transformation? Because I know quite well, if you to look at the Arabs, before the revelation and after the revelation, you see quite well that the revelation produced a kind of transformation. All right. So, why do you think our engagement with the Quran today often fail to produce the depth and moral clarity, the depth of moral clarity, courage and purpose that characterize the early believers who interacted with the same Quran that we're also interacting with now?
Because we are merely reciting now. We are not reflecting.
SubhanAllah.
We are only reciting, no reflection, no meditation.
We are not understanding the message.
We're just reading.
We are just reading. And the Quran is not just for reading alone. Allah even said in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentioned it. In Surah Muhammad, Allah mentioned it. أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقُفَالُهَا. That's what Allah is in Surah Muhammad. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Is the Quran just sent on ignorant minds? Aren't you pondering? Allah is even asking us. Aren't you pondering? Aren't you meditating on the... we might find some people today that might have finished the Quran 10 times in recitation. Up to 10 times. Yes, it's possible. But what have you understood from the Quran? What transformation has the Quran brought to you individually? I do say this mostly when we are educating people regarding Ramadan. You are not just to read the Quran every day. You are to learn the Quran every day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been taught the Quran before Ramadan. But why is it that in the month of Ramadan, Allah will send Jibril again to come and teach the Prophet the Quran? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was it that the Prophet forgot how to read it? It's a message. You connect with teachers of the Quran in Ramadan. And that is why our scholars have given different platforms. You have sittings of tafsir. People will be wondering, why is it that it's Ramadan? You have tafsir here and there, lectures, Ramadan lecture here, Ramadan lecture there. Only Allah knows how many we cover in a day, even though I've been casted on the program some weeks ago. You know, it's not just for, the fun of it. We are trying to imbibe what the Prophet did. That tradition. The Prophet had sessions with his teacher.
In Ramadan.
You also need to learn the Quran every day and not just recite. You learn the Quran. You study the Quran. What have you understood from the Quran today? Before you sleep, you must understand something. So, you go, and alhamdulillah, we have various opportunities now. If you are not joining physically, you are joining virtually. You are joining this and that. You just have to connect with the Quran. As you are reading, sit with a teacher, learn the verse, have an in-depth understanding before coming to the studio this morning. I've had a session, where we meditate on the verses of the Quran, meditation and reflection. We recite and we meditate. I hold this every weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And Ramadan is not left out. Because that's a month where we are even expected to do it. I had the program before coming to the studio. We have various opportunities here and there. That makes the difference between us and the early generation. They understand the Quran. We do not.
Okay.
We are only reciting. Some of our children that we send for memorization and everything. We are only saying, my child is Hafiz, is this and that.
Status symbol is what.
Even the Hifz, how strong is it? Because we are pushing the Malam. Oh, within 1 year or 2 years, I want the child to finish. How about understanding of the Quran? That's another stage. How about application? Tatbiq. Application of it into various lives. Your field. How do you know how to apply the Quran to it? And various other aspects of life. These are the things that are missing. That we need to connect back. We need to connect the dots. So that we can live that, glorious life they lived during that time for us to earn a better reward from Allah.
All right, Jazakumullah khair. Now, we learned from the hadith that when it's time for this last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would move into seclusion, tighten his izar, again and increase in worship. All right. Now, many Muslims also intensify worship during the last 10 days of Ramadan, experiencing emotional highs and spiritual focus. Now, what distinguishes a temporary surge of devotion from genuine inner reform, and how can Laylatul Qadr become a defining turning point that reshapes a believer's character long after Ramadan ends?
We need to imbibe the message of Laylatul Qadr. What are you asking Allah? You're asking Allah for His mercy. You're asking Allah for His pardon. How much have you shown that mercy? Some people even write in the masjid where he has gone for Laylatul Qadr. He is picking up fights with with
fellow
people.
Muslims.
And he would just put himself. He doesn't want to relate with anybody and the likes. And you are seeking the night of majesty. Where you are expecting mercy of Allah. Where you are expecting the pardon of Allah. How much have you pardoned other people? How much have you shown mercy? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that night will transform some people from dwellers of hell to becoming dwellers of Jannah. You know, isn't that a great pardon? A lot of people have wronged you within your family. You have severed family ties. Long before now. And you are here seeking Allah's pardon, and you have told your family that till hereafter before we settle.
Subhanallah.
Are you also expecting that Allah treats your case in the hereafter?
Just like that.
Settle with your family. Settle with your wife. You've had a long altercation with your wife. You've been living like co-tenants. Squatters in the same building.
Subhanallah.
Why? Because you do not just want to overlook, you do not want to pardon. And you are seeking the pardon of Allah.
But some say, you don't mind those women. Their mouth is very, very sharp. And I don't want any distraction during this period.
If Allah considers who you are, you will never get Allah's mercy for a single minute.
Subhanallah.
If Allah considers how wrongful your acts are, how sinful you are, then even ordinary air of ease, He will not allow you breathing. If Allah had not been overlooking your shortcomings, you will not be where you are. As much as you've been wrongful, you've been disobedient to Allah, yet Allah did not seize His mercy upon you. Why would you also turn your back at other creatures? Don't you know that's another way of worshiping Allah? And it's a great form of worship. We're talking about generosity. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is described to be generous than the wind in Ramadan. Didn't you read that? What's the level of generosity? There are some things that you do that you don't need to stay long on supplication before Allah considers your situation.
Allah Akbar.
Your actions would speak for you. And there is nothing of such that is weighty in Allah's consideration than you being considerable, being generous, being merciful to other creatures of Allah like yours.
All right. By 11:30, we're going on a short break. But then, before we do that, I want to ask this, that you know quite well that we're taught that, just like you said, destinies are overturned or changed in the night of majesty. So how should believers balance personal supplication with a deep sense of responsibility for the condition of the ummah as it is in the world today? And what does that reveal about our spiritual maturity if our concerns really extend beyond our own lives? Because a lot of people, like you said, not in that of majesty, oh Allah, give me money, oh Allah, give me promotion, oh Allah, give me a child. Concern for the ummah, the affairs of the world, is none of their business. So now, And because we understand that how powerful that night is. So how do we balance the supplications we do for ourselves and the concern that we have for the Ummah? Very quickly before we go on the break.
Just like I just said now, one of the things that will help to raise that your supplication is your own consideration of other creatures of God, even animals. Even animals. We've read hadith where a lady became a dweller of hell because of a cat, maltreating a cat. And we've seen a situation where Allah forgave
a prostitute
because of being merciful to a dog.
Allah Akbar.
Do you understand? Yes. And you're seeking forgiveness. And here you are, you sat on the promotion of somebody. In the office. As long as I'm in this office, you will never move an inch. You will remain where you are. As long as I'm in this office, your salary will never increase. Then you are expecting the pardon, expecting... It is that righteous deed that will uplift that supplication of yours, that will take it far, 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 far into the heavens. Because it's a different thing for you to make dua. It's for yet another thing for the doors of the heavens to be open for that dua of yours to be admitted right in there. And it's yet another thing for Allah
to accept
it and grant all these things. All what will facilitate what you are requesting is your relationship, your merciful, compassionate, your relationship with empathy with other creatures of Allah.
All right. So, the program is still Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. We'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us.
Women Radio 91.7, the Ogbonge radio station for women and their families.
Nigeria, a nation of many languages and many tribes, we will stand together, live together, and grow together. United we stand, united we thrive. This message is brought to you by Women Radio WFM 91.7 FM.
Are you looking for a place to advertise your business at affordable rates or a hall to host all your corporate events and conferences? Then don't look any further for all your advert placements, live interviews, announcements, religious programs, event bookings, and lots more. Give your business the boost and reach your target audience at an affordable rate here on Women Radio 91.7. What are you waiting for? Hurry now. Call the numbers 0905-555-8998, 0806-009-2137, or 0816-060-5673, or email us at sales@wfm917.com.
Homes and places of interest in Nigeria. With one data, you get to enjoy the premium internet. 7 fantastic customer service and support, and enjoy a 1 month free subscription when you make payment. Now is the time to say goodbye to downtimes. Sign up on Monday 38 on 0811-223-2671 or visit www.mondata.org. Mondata, unlimited speed.
His Royal Majesty, Kábíyèsí Aláyélúwà, Ọba Dr. Kehinde Gbadewole Olúgbénlé, FNIVS, FNIM, RSV, DSC, DLITT, Asade Agunloye the Fourth, Olu Ofilaro, Paramount Ruler of Yewa Land, and Chairman of the State Council of Oba, hosts the fifth men-only town hall meeting in Ilaro, Ogun State. This men-only town hall meeting brings together custodians of our culture to discuss the important roles men play in protecting women and girls while fostering stronger family and community bonds. Date, Tuesday, 17th March 2026. Time, 11 a.m. prompt. Venue, Oba Olugbenle VIP Hall. Ashade, Agunloye Pavilion Ground, Ilaro, Yewa, Ogun State. This exclusive gathering is proudly initiated by Women Radio WFM 91.7. Strictly by invitation only.
Professionalism in this, because we're talking about 100 lives.
Government has also put in place a structure to make it look like what they have in mind.
Join us on our lens of Women Radio 91.7 FM.
How do we stop crime in the society? Because at the end of the day, if a man cannot provide for his wife anymore, he looks for other means.
Our lens every Monday to Friday by 9:05 a.m. as women across Nigeria tackle trending issues, one honest, thought-provoking discussion at a time. Because when women speak, the world listens.
Women Radio 91.7, breaking the culture of silence.
Ramadan.
All right, welcome back. The program is still Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. And today we are discussing the Night of Majesty, reawakening the soul of the Ummah. And our guest discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat, the Imam and Director of Darul Sa'ada in Otagon State, and is also the Quran Tutor at Crescent University Abeokuta. Abeokuta, still in Ogun State as well. You know, Women Radio is also in Ogun State, so why am I saying that? All right, so you can be a part of the program by calling the number 07000 917 917. The toll free line for female callers is 0800 1235 917 0800 1235 917. Can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0815591717. That is 0815591717. Alright, the program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page and join in to view the studio live, and to also send your comments on the live feeds on YouTube. Alright, so Imam, we are discussing Laylatul Qadr, and we know quite well the first generation who witnessed the impact of revelation emerged with clarity of mission, resilience in hardship, and commitment to justice. You said that they understood the Quran. All right. So, but what essential spiritual qualities enable that kind of transformation in that generation, and what internal weaknesses do we have within the contemporary Muslim communities which, you know, are hindering a similar awakening today?
Do you know that even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit down and tell other people to recite the Quran for him?
Allahu Akbar. He told one to whom the Quran was revealed.
He told somebody, one of the companions, that read the Quran for me. He said, I should read the Quran for you while the Quran was revealed upon you, Muhammad.
Salah,
he said, yes, I want to hear it from somebody else other than myself. And he started reciting. He read Suratul Mu'minun. And when he got to around 50-something of the verse, the Prophet ﷺ was listening to it while he lowered his head. By the time he raised his head, he said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. His eyes had turned red. His beard had been filled with water, soaked with tears.
Allah Akbar.
Reflection. Meditation. When reflection and meditation over the Quran, if the Prophet ﷺ that Allah had perfected, Allah did special surgery for him to perfect him. He's even trying to connect with Allah through the message. Because Allah purposely said that, whoever, I will send my guidance to you. Whoever connects with this guidance, is that person will never go astray, nor will he be unfortunate. So the moment you cut away from the remembrance of Allah, and that's the revelation, this revelation was done at once in the night of majesty. If you cut away from it, you are cutting away from guidance. You are cutting away from fortune. You are cutting away from success. There is no how you can be able to uphold justice when the book that is teaching you how to uphold justice is avoided. There is no way. There is no way you can show passion. You can show compassion. You need to connect with the Quran. If Allah said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr," we send the Quran down in the night of majesty. Then Allah wants you to connect with the Quran. Have this deep connection. But I don't know. When people hear, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim," Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, lecture is to be commenced, even in the masajid, they will stand up. As if they are the shaitan in the house will be like,
that is the shaitan
that is being casted away. The moment they hear the house will be like, and they stand up. Are they the shaitan?
Maybe. The shaitan in them.
Allah asks the question, ما لهم عن التذكرة معرضين. فما لهم عن التذكرة معرضين. Ask this question. Why are they turning away, always running away from the remembrance of Allah? Anytime the remembrance of Allah is to be established, they don't want to hear it. Let a concert be held, be organized, you see millions of people. But let a lecture to the awakening the soul be organized, you see few people. Why? Just like a horse, farrat min kaswara. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this heart gets rust. Just like metals get rust. But what do you do to metals to avoid rusting? You lubricate it.
Yes.
You paint it, you lubricate. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the lubrication of the heart is the Quran. Lubrication of the heart is the Quran. And if the heart is lubricated, the entire body will be lubricated. What did the Prophet say? Inna fil jasadi mudgha. Idha salahat salaha al jasadu kulluhu wa idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kulluhu. There is a pound of flesh in the body. If it is in a good state, the entire body will be in good state. If it's in a bad state, the entire body will be in bad state. Ala wa hiya al qalb. He said that is your heart. To put your heart in order, you need the Quran.
You need to reflect on the Quran. You need to recite the Quran. Even the recitation we are talking about, Quran today is meant for people's shelf and not for themselves again. Apart from last Ramadan, when last time somebody read the Quran, let alone the pondering, these are the issues we are having. We are running away from gatherings. In the masjid, some masajids are even dead. It's only meant for
old people.
Old people. Some just go there, pray, and once you've prayed, you are going. There is no reawakening message. There is nothing. No, even Kutuba, the only one weekly, this thing that Allah has made mandatory on people. How many people attend the Kutuba? People will be waiting for when the Imam will observe, will commence, what's it called? Prayer. You know, if it's a place where the man speaks several languages, you'll be hearing, is he already speaking Yoruba now? That means, is he closer to observing prayer?
Yeah.
While you are meant to be in the masjid, even before the imam gets there, for you to listen to, you are mandated to listen. Even the angels that Allah will send on Juma, once the imam arrives, what do they do? Torah will solve. They will close their record. They will not write any name again. Why? Yes, they also want to listen to the khutbah. Because Allah is forcing you to learn weekly. But you are not accepting those guides of Allah, those guidelines of Allah. These are the things that we are having that is making our life difficult and far away from the message of Allah.
All right, let me just tell our listeners that right now we have two Everyday Muslim shirts to give away to any two callers that are able to answer. You know, those are very simple questions that relates to this program. So you can call in to answer this question and win yourself a very beautiful Everyday Muslim t-shirt. All right. So again, the number to call is 07000-917-917. And you can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 08155-917-917. 08155-917-917. All right, Imam, very quickly, as time is fast running now. Talking about preparation for Laylatul Qadr, since we said it's going to commence on Monday, by evening on Monday. Now, a lot of times when preparing for Laylatul Qadr, the focus is usually on, yes, increasing worship in the final nights, as we saw the Prophet ﷺ do. So, but what does conscious and strategic spiritual preparation truly look like at the level of the individual, the family, and the wider community, so that all of us can actually benefit from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been reposed in these last 10 days?
Charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. If you read that hadith that you quoted, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said to tighten shadda mizarahu and ahya laylahu, the Prophet will be awake in the night.
Yeah.
But what does he do? Aykada ahlahu.
Wakes.
He wakes his family. Charity begins at home. You need to ensure that your family participate alongside.
All right. Oh, okay. A caller was trying to come in, but we missed the call. You can go on, sir.
So your family should also participate alongside you.
Okay. Should not forget them.
You should not forget them.
Okay.
So if I ensure that I carry along my family,
okay,
you carry along your family, he carries along his family, what happened? Isn't that the society?
Yeah. Where do we come
in? We'll all meet in the masjid and we'll have the activity. So if I am having it, I'm being inspired through it. My wife is being inspired. My children are being inspired. Same applies to you. Same applies to your wife, your children, and everything. What happens? The entire society will be in the mood. The entire society will be transformed. So it starts from the smaller units, which is the family. I have control over my family. I don't have control over your family. Even if as an imam, you know, you are a community leader and the likes, there is limit to what you can do on individual families.
Yeah.
The head of the families will have to implement what the community imam is saying.
Hello.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us have your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Yusuf Olamileko Adedeo. I'm calling from Alafuko Legacy.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
I thank our imam for giving us this enlightenment. So my question is this. How do one who normally, who does the work that requires you to stay alert during the day fully, during the last 10 days, and they want to also stay awake during the last 10 days of the of the night. So how would that person manage this scenario? Won't it affect our work? Then number two, how we want to know that, one has been able to
identify which night.
Which day ahead. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So you can listen to Imam's response.
Regarding work.
So you want to stay awake to benefit from the night, and at the same time you don't want your work to suffer because your work also requires you to be alert during the day.
You even discharging your duties as a worker is obligation and is an act of righteousness.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's part of the deen. In the night, you also want to
Wake up
and be part of. Don't forget the night starts from Maghrib.
Allah Akbar.
The night starts from Maghrib.
Yeah.
Not your understanding of night of 12 o'clock, That's not in Islam. Night starts from Maghrib. Commence your activities
after Tarawih.
From Maghrib, keep asking Allah, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'funi. Keep asking Allah like that. Then, if you pray Isha, sleep early. You can even delay Taraweeh. Sleep early so that you can wake up early enough during the other part of the night. Most especially the third part of the night. Have a very good activity during that time because that time is loaded. So you can do that. Then during the day, when you're at your workplace, I said it when we discussed work and well-being, balancing everything and the likes. You, during your breaks, sleep. You don't chit-chat, don't do, because you have more responsibility. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do sleep during the day so that they can be energized in the night.
Qailula.
So do Qailula, siesta. Have siesta. So during the day, sleep during your breaks so that you can have enough energy. And as for how would you know, please be smart. As the Prophet was smart, be active all the 10 nights.
Be active all the 10 nights. So very quickly, the Rasulullah ﷺ taught us a powerful dua for Laylatul Qadr. Probably you also remind our listeners on what this dua is, for us to ask Allah's pardon. But then how does seeking divine pardon on this night relate to the broader revival of the Ummah, and what is the purification of the heart central to any lasting collective reform that we want to achieve for the society?
Yes, you see, seeking pardon is quintessential. Once you achieve the pardon of Allah, it's easy for Allah to show our mercy upon you.
Yeah.
Once He has pardoned you, Allah is not angry with you. He has pardoned you. Then it's easy for you to. And there's even difference between seeking pardon and seeking forgiveness.
Allah Akbar.
So it is pardon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said we should seek, and not forgiveness. Because forgiveness, you will still be accountable. It's there in your record. Why did you do this? Even though we're not. But that asking you that why is a punishment itself. Because you'll be shaken,
you'll be traumatized.
So, but what you are seeking is a pardon. Oh Allah,
blot it out from our
completely.
Records.
So the Prophet taught us. Our mother Aisha asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "If I'm alive, I'm able to witness the Lailatul Qadr. What should I be saying?" The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, say Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna or fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you innaka afuun, you are the pardon, you love to pardon people, please pardon me. Look at in Surah regarding the heart you mentioned, that's in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explaining run, kalla bal run ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Run, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you perform, if you commit a sin now, it will create a coat on your heart, you know, imprintable, an imprint on your heart. So you create another one, you commit another one, it creates a, till it envelopes the entire heart. There is nothing of goodness
that
will come from such a heart. So, but with forgiveness, with pardon, then that heart will continue, will be cleansed till it is ripped off the entire imprint or what have you, and becomes pure again. And it is such a pure heart that Allah will receive. Because bin Salim, a pure heart, you know, and such a pure heart is the one that will relate with people in a good way. It's such a pure heart that will listen to advices and make good use of it. It's such a pure heart that will understand the message of the deen. It's such a pure heart that will show compassion, show empathy to people and be merciful to others. So that pardon is quite very, very important for us to be reawakened in all ramifications.
All right. Now, as we close home, like our caller was trying to find out probably, okay, some signs we're able to know that probably is this night. You know, a lot of people are always interested in the night. Did you notice the weather today and things like that? So now the question is, beyond the outward signs traditionally associated with Laylatul Qadr, what inner transformations should a believer look for as evidence that the night has truly impacted their life, and how can those signs be nurtured so that its effects extend beyond Ramadan into a sustained commitment?
You see, we shouldn't just be particular about did I meet the night. We should be particular about how did I spend the entire moment. If you actually spend the entire moment righteously, you will not just be fulfilled regarding the night. You'll be fulfilled wholeheartedly regarding your spirituality. You know? And you would have imbibed a culture, a tradition that needs to be sustained. The way you will really know that this thing has really, you have really been fortunate enough to meet the night and meet, you know, the entire aim of even Ramadan entirely, is for you to always wish to continue those righteous acts you did in Ramadan. Continuity. Once you do not feel that zeal, that vibe to continue, there's problem.
Allah Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free us from such problem. Alright, before we go on the program today, Imam, I want to request two things. First is a prayer for the people in Gaza and the people of Iran and all over the world that are facing one conflict out there, including here in Nigeria, because of many people that have been killed as a result of insecurity. Then the second is actually that we need prayer for the departed. One of the guests on this program, Hajia Anisa Isaac Balogun, was a guest on this program in October 2025, when we discussed Before You Say I Do, Why Gender Compatibility Matters in Marriage, talking about genotype and the likes like that. So we lost her on Thursday. I also lost an uncle of mine, the chief imam of my town, hometown. So I also lost him on that same Thursday. So these two people, I want you to quickly do dua for them and for the rest of us as we coast home.
specifically for those that have gone, that have died, the Muslims, الَّذِينَ شَهِدُوا لَكَ بِالْوَحْدَانِيَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِكَ بِالرِّسَالَةِ وَمَاتُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَارْحَمْهُمْ وَعَافِهِمْ وَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَكْرِمْ نُزُلَهُمْ وَوَسِّعْ مُدْخَلَهُمْ وَاغْسِلْهُمْ بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ وَنَقِّهِمْ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْخَطَايَا كَمَا يُنَقَّى الثَّوْبُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ فَزِدْهُمْ فِي إِسْخَانِهِمْ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ فَتَجَاوِزْ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ اللَّهُمَّ ابْدِلْ دَارَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ دَارِهِمْ وَزَوْجًا خَيْرًا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّتَهُ وَأَعِذْهُمْ فِتْنَةَ الْقَبْرِ وَعَذَابِ النَّارِ اللهم لا تحرمنا أجر ولا تفتنا بعد اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. As for the entire world, because the heat is all over now. Petrol price has skyrocketed. We saw 1,000 plus
this
on our way down here.
And
even alhamdulillah that we have refinery now. I didn't believe we don't have refinery
at all.
We should be should have queues all around now, because there's no way fuel will get to Nigeria.
Yes.
All the routes have been blocked.
Yes.
So look at gas now, which is the common man, this thing, 1,004. So if you say this is just about Iran or just about
the Middle East
and the lives about Middle East, then you are feeling it directly, right in your home. May Allah heal the world. May Allah heal the world. May Allah salvage us from all this evil here and there. And all those tormenting evil, may Allah relieve us of them. May Allah relieve us of them. Allahumma ahsim adada. Waqtuluhum badada wa la tabqa minhum ahada. Allahumma arina fihim ajaiba kudratik ya rabbal alameen wa ya rahman rahimin. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا سنة وفي الآخرة سنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله